I want to again extend a Christian greeting to each one this morning, and it is indeed a blessing to be together in the house of God on this, the Lord's Day. What a better place to be. I believe God has made provisions that we can sit together, encourage ourselves in Him, encourage each other, and can enjoy those blessings. I've been blessed this far with what we shared. But as we think of our topic here this morning, overcoming the sins of the Spirit, doesn't that give us a wonderful hope? We look at the Bible and we see that God's intent for man was his happiness. God wanted man to enjoy fellowship with God. And like I said last night, that sin has severed that fellowship. Because of man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and today it is affecting our lives. We can't deny the fact that the spirit of man works against the spirit of God. The song says that, "Prune to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prune to leave the God I love." There's something within us that we can never deny. This flesh we live in, this body, craves for the things of this world, the things that are contrary to God. But God tells us through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, that He offers us life, and life abundantly. But we need to follow His Spirit. Sometimes we get discouraged as we struggle through this life. You know, we get frustrated, we get angry, we get discouraged. We do things that are contrary to what God is asking of us. And you know, sometimes it seems that it puts us in a little corner where we think, is it worth it? But this morning I want to tell you, brethren, that the Bible gives us hope. It gives us assurance that we can live a life that is righteous in a sinful world. I encourage myself a lot of times with examples. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And we notice that the sin that he committed, but you know, he never stayed there. We see in many of the Psalms that he cried out to God and says, "Lord, help me." And I believe that's a good example for us today, that we go to God. We heard this week again about a secret place. We need to meet God on a daily basis, on a momentary basis. You know, let's not fool ourselves to think that it's only Sunday we can worship. We can meet at that place. But we need to meet Him daily. Paul had an experience here, and I'd like to read those verses there in Romans chapter 7. If you turn to the book of Romans chapter 7, and as I see Paul expressing his experience, doesn't this sometimes we feel the same way? Isn't that our experience at times? But you know, I appreciate much how he brings it in there that he says, you know, he thanks God, the promises of God. God has promised, God has made a way for us. And this morning, that is what I'm here to encourage you, that there's victory over sin. We don't have to live in defeat. Romans chapter 7, verse 14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would not, that I do." Sorry, let me read verse 15 again. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, O Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. It seems that our lives are a battlefield. There's a battle going on. You know, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, teaches us, it guides us, it instructs us how we should approach life. But yet, the Spirit of man, we know the Spirit of man is, like Paul said here, is carnal. Carnality. You know, we want to do things to satisfy the flesh, but we know that that brings destruction. Thank God this morning for the promises we have in His Word. Thank God that He offers us victory. And this victory is only through Jesus Christ. You know, Christ, while He was here on earth, He left a life, a legacy for us, an example. You know, He never gave in to the temptations that Satan brought Him. But He responded in a way in which God wants us today, that we remember what the Scripture says. Through Christ's death, we know that death was defeated. And that is why you and I can claim that victory today. We're in this battle, but let's remember that Jesus has already won the victory. We are obtaining, all of us can obtain that eternal crown. Yes, we live in a world that is so rampant with sin. And the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, is always there to distract us. As Christians, we receive the power of God for Christian living. All of this is possible just because of what Christ has done for us. God defeated Satan. God gave me the power to say no to Satan. You know, I don't have to give in to his devices. There's a place that God provides for us that we can be sheltered from the attacks of the evil one. We should never underestimate the power of sin. Sin does great damages. You know, it's not wise for God's people to indulge in sin. I mentioned last night that these sins that we're talking about are things that we can cover up. They're so deceptive. You know, some people believe that it's not too bad if I have a ill feeling towards my brother or to the neighbor. You know, I can brew with this thing in my life. And I can't really see the effects it's doing in my own life. But you know, if we can see the effects it does within the brotherhood, in relationships. And so we need to avoid it. The Bible tells us that we need to do things that would edify each other, would build us up, would build the brotherhood up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 57, dear. Paul again here writing says, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, as God's people, we don't need to live with a sad countenance. We don't have to say that we're defenseless or we're defeated. God gives us the victory. It's only through Jesus Christ. Only when we believe in Christ, when we ask Him to come into our lives, then we can be faithful over the attacks of Satan. I believe God sets conditions for us. It's not only what modern Christianity is saying today. It's just to believe. But God wants us to believe His Word, to walk in truth, to walk in light. You know, how do we respond when we get irritated? which spirit gets the most of us? Is it the spirit of man or is it the Holy Spirit? Victory is ours. I'm glad that God has made provision. God has given us all things that pertain to godliness. You know, there is not a sin, there is not a struggle we face in this life. There's not a situation that we can say that God is not able to help us overcome. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. says, he says, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Here again, God tells us that if we walk in the light, you know, there's only two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. We can't confuse it. You know, many today are deceived, thinking that there's a third way. But if this morning we're not walking in the kingdom of light, we're in the kingdom of darkness. And if we walk in the kingdom of light, God will show us clearly His will for our lives. We don't have to be guessing. We don't have to be going around wondering what we do in certain areas. We need to always apply the little saying that we say, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond to this situation? Instead of saying, how would it feel? How will it affect me? Or which way I feel would be better? But we need to say, what would Jesus do in this situation, in this conflict, in this decision that I need to make? Are we walking in the light? Can we see clearly what God is saying to us? Can we see clearly what the Spirit is asking of us? Or are we being confused? As God's people, He has given us clearly His Word, His instruction. He has given us His Spirit that lead us into all truth, into all things that are beneficial to our spiritual life. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39 there. Romans 8, 31. These verses give us so much encouragement, so much, power to go on. He says in verse 21, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As I read these verses here, you know, as we think of the life of those that went on before, men of old, I don't believe that none of us can say that we have ever experienced half of what Christ went through. And we look at the life of Job and those faithful men. You know, the hardship they faced in life, they could have given up. They could have responded in a negative way. They could have followed their own spirit. And sometimes they did, but they repented. But you know, think of the effects it would have done. What if Jesus would have said, told his father, I want my will, not thine. You know, we today would have been lost. We would have no hope. And so that should help us to say no to sin for the well-being of others and for our own selves. There's so much things we might face in life, brethren. We don't know what next Satan has on his agenda for God's people. But if we're not feeling the effects of what he's trying to do today, then we need to be awakened and, you know, be sensitive. God wants to prepare us for what lies ahead. If persecution comes, are we going to be there for each other? Are we going to give up each other to persecution? Maybe there's just little things that we have indifferences and the way we do things. Are we willing to lay down our own ideas, our own agendas, on our own personal preference or brothers? I believe God wants us to live in love. He's given us enough words and commands that we can overcome the sins of the Spirit, that we need to walk and to seek those things that are eternal, those things that are edifying, those things that will make us be ready when he returns. Jesus invites us this morning to be his friend. If Jesus is your friend, then you have nothing to worry about. Jesus says, for without me he can do nothing. In other words, you say, if he's our friend, there's nothing too hard that us and him cannot go through. Make him your friend. Make him your personal, your intimate friend. You know, as the promises are there, it's clear that we don't have to look to a life of gloom, but we can look with expectation, with high expectation, that we can live a victorious Christian life, a spirit-filled life, a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. We don't need to give in to this flesh that craves and always gets in the way with our relationship with the Lord. You know, and it's a joyous experience as we know that the times when we allow the Spirit to lead us, to direct our lives, it's a fulfillment that nothing in this life can ever offer. You know, God made us that way. God gives us souls. He gives us that emptiness that we can be filled with His Spirit, because He knows that that is the only source that will help us as we face the temptations of this life. But also, God gives us conditions. He says that we need to do our part. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 16, there where he talks about the armor of God. We need to put on the armor of God. No soldier that is going to war will go out there in his casual wear. That's not wise. But you know, there are many Christians today that they say they're in the field of God, they're in this battle. But you know, they go with their life open to the attacks of Satan, because they take self, they take their spirit, they want to serve God in their own spirit. And that does not work. We need to put on the armor of God. That is so important. And I believe that where the Scripture says that we need to put on all the armor of God, don't think that there are certain things in the Bible that does not apply to you. If God has put it there, it is for your spiritual well-being. It is for your protection. And I believe that is why it's a burden, it's a concern today in our hearts as leaders to see at times when people try to say, This is not important. It's not for our day and age. If God has set it there, I think it is of importance. It is for our day. Whenever we have experience with people coming saying, do we have to do that? Well, we ask the question, do we not have to do it? Or if those that have served God before have been faithful, have gone on to eternity, and it has done them so much good, why can't we do it today? Why do we have to question? Again, we see the spirit of man there, trying to contradict what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I believe that is why Christianity has gone so far out. Because man wants to serve God, yet they don't give up their own selfish spirit. Maybe we should read those verses there in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 16. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet with shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all saints. And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Here we see Paul was encouraging these Christians here to gird themselves, to be prepared. We're in a battle. You know, there's no time for there's no time to play in the spiritual walk. We need to be serious with the things of God. And it doesn't mean that we always need to walk with a serious face. But you know that we, as we see the things unfolding around us, that we can say, this is from God and I need to approach it in a God-fearing manner. You know, there are many things today that are happening around us, and we talk about it so often. But what do we do anything about it? What is our attitude towards it? Yes, we see sin is abounding. Doesn't the Bible say in the last days sin will abound? Does it make me have a desire to grow more closer to my Savior? Or we just say, oh, it's just a coincidence. You know, it's so, we see that so often. People, God brings things to our reminders, and we can say, oh, it had to happen. Doesn't the Holy Spirit remind us that, you know, I'm reminding you that I'm coming back, and that I need to do something about the things that are lacking in my life. We need, for us to overcome the sins of the Spirit, we need to put on the whole armor of God. It is so important. God never just allowed his writers to put these things in the Bible for us just to overlook, but we need to put it on daily. And I know we can spend much time going through some of these verses, some of these precious, we'd say, armor that is so vital for our day and age. You know, people that don't take God's word to what it says are open to the attacks of Satan. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and 5 there. Again, to overcome the sins of the Spirit, we need to have faith. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. There are many Christians that are living in fear today. as they see the many things that are unfolding and the way the trend the world is going. There's so much evil. There's so much abomination, we'd say. But you know, our faith in Christ can give us a peace that we don't need to live in fear. We can enjoy peace. We can enjoy that security that, you know, Satan can never snatch us out of the hand of God if we keep ourselves in the love of God. And that we need to believe in Christ. Believe that He's our only Savior. And believe that His work that He has done, the plan of salvation is completed. I think we're in danger when we try to look for a source or things that are outside of what God has already provided. And you know, there's a tendency today, I see that much in our circles, that people are trying to look elsewhere for security. Brethren, what the Bible tells us this morning is salvation plan has been completed when Christ gave His life. We need not look around anywhere else. And so we need to be like the disciples that say that prayed, as Jesus said, increase our faith. That should be a prayer, that God would increase our faith. But it's not only asking, it's that we put to practice each day, that our lives would cultivate in such a way that our faith grows. You know, my question is, where are we today when we started? Are we still stumbling over those sins that so easily besetted us? Are we still there? Are we growing more like our Master? It doesn't happen automatically. It takes work on our part, that we cultivate faith in God. Can we, like Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where he says, I can do all through Christ who strengthened me. Can we honestly say that when we face the temptations? When I face the temptation to have an argument with my brother, can I say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me? Can I hold my peace? Can I humble myself? Can I lay my ideas down? Brethren, if you have faith in Christ, you can do great and marvelous things for the Lord. It's amazing at times when, you know, we respond because God has asked us. We're in situations where this thing could be, it can make a big effect in a negative way. But if we humble ourselves and ask God to take control, there's so much blessings that we can receive. And it can bless the lives of others too. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. I'm glad that the word of God here is so clear. The verses I'm reading, I think it's so easy for us to understand that God offers victory this morning. And it tells us so clearly. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The blood of Jesus, which cleanseth us from all unrighteousness, can preserve us, can keep us until the day of Jesus' return. How much does the blood of Christ mean to you? I believe when Satan sees that we can claim the blood of Christ, he flees. Satan is defeated. In Psalms 119, verse 11, the psalmist says that thy word have I hid in my heart that I might sin not against thee. And we think of, sometimes we say maybe it's a way of keeping our young people clean, but I believe it's a way of keeping Christians clean. If God's word is in my heart, then I know how I should respond to situations. I know I'm convicted if I do things contrary to what the word of God is saying. You know, today we live in an age when I believe in our homes we have many Bibles. Do we study it? Do we store it in our heart? You know, we have the privilege of doing that today. We live in a land where there is freedom. God gives us great opportunities where we can study His Word and make it become a part of our life. What? Do you know the Word of God? Do you spend time in the Word of God? Brother talked last night a little bit about the law of liberty. You know, the world today is fighting for freedom, for liberty. But you know, God offers it, and yet people can't see it. But even in our struggles as Christians, we struggle at times with our attitudes, with secret sins. Are we coming and finding? Do we desire to have liberty? Are we desiring to have freedom in Christ? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me read from verses 1 to 6. It says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence, wherein I think to be bold against some which think of us if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the things of the flesh." Sorry, let me read verse 3 again. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." We are to use God's methods to fight against sin, against Satan's attack. We're not to use our own human reasoning. It doesn't work. God gives us a way in which we can ward off Satan. You know, we're to love sinners, but we're to hate the deed of sin. And I believe that is where many times sin of the flesh, or say sin of the spirit, we get so confused that we start fighting. We're fighting our feelings, our emotions. You know, we start fighting people. We need to see that when there is sin or when there is disarray, especially in the church, that Satan is the mastermind behind it. And you know, it's beautiful when Christians can come together and fight in the name of the Lord. God doesn't want us to turn our armor against each other. He wants us that we can unite together and fight the devil. You know, we're to be there for each other. You know, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, will try hard to split us up, to cause division. The world is already experiencing that. God wants us to live together. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. if, as I think of the scripture here, and again there it talks about Spirit of man, and the Holy Spirit, I believe in these verses here we get the answer so clearly. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Let's go to verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Like I said, I believe these scriptures speak for themselves. For us to overcome the sins of the Spirit, we need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. It means that my deepest desire is to live and to practice the qualities that it listed there in verse 22 and 23. Is that my desire? Am I desiring to love more? Is my desire to always be joyful? To plant the seed of peace? You know, the fruit names there. Is that our desire? Do we want to see more of that in our lives? Are those the things that we're cultivating? But it also involves the desire to hear, a readiness to obey, whether it's the church leaders, whether it's what the church have decided. Are we willing to obey? Do we have a desire to hear what others have to tell us? You know, to walk in the Spirit means to discern between my feelings and the Holy Spirit prompting. Our feelings are never comfortable, we'd say. Our feelings are not things that we can confide in, but we can confide in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should be the source of our new life. We need to walk in it. Are you being led? Are you being guided by the Holy Spirit? Or is it your own inclination? We should never allow anyone or anything to determine our values and standards in our spiritual life. Only the Holy Spirit has that privilege. This morning, I give thanks to God that we don't have to live a defeated life. That He has made a provision for us. We can live in victory. And we don't need to be ashamed. And we need not compromise to the world or to Satan. You know, there's not a sin that with me and Christ, myself and Christ, we can never overcome. There's not a sin that you and Jesus can never overcome. In heaven, there will only be overcomers. You know, there's no place for those that give in to the temptations of life. Oh, what victory we can have in Christ. I give Him thanks and glory for that. May God bless you.